We are going to start from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. Now, this prophecy Isaiah did 700 or 800 years before even Jesus Christ was born. So you can see Jesus coming into this world is not an accident. It's planned by God. And everything is according to the word of God. Many kings, they came. Many rulers, they came. Many religious leaders, they came into this world. But they fought for their freedom and for their name and for their kingdoms. But Jesus Christ came into this world as a baby. Let's read.
Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
This Emmanuel means God with us. So when the God was going to come and live with the mankind, there is a song some other religious people made. He says, God, why don't you come and be like a man and be with us so you would know what man goes through. I said to these people, this already happened. Emmanuel means God with us. Now some people having problem with this because there are people thinking there is only one God, like a Muslim, Jewish, or some other religious people thinking there is only one God. How can God leave the heaven and come and be a baby, and who will be in charge in heaven? But thank God, our God is triune. Our God is the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So God the Father did not come as a baby into this world, but God the Son came into this world. That's why we say God with us. And that is Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9:6, please read.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
The Prince of Peace. When you say the Prince of Peace, means there is no other king or other prince will be bringing peace to this world. Solomon was called the King of Peace. But as soon as the Solomon's kingdom finished, his kingdom was divided and they had a lot of problems. When you read the Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, I'm sure in those days the priests, high priests, and many other religious people who knew the Bible, they would say, if the Messiah is coming, if the Savior is coming, if the Prince of Peace is coming in a virgin's womb, so we will keep our girls virgin. And I believe many, many people kept their girls virgins. And so you can see 2,000 years ago, there was not a system. Girl can go to somebody's house and stay overnight and stay with a man, have a children, and nobody will say anything. It was not so. I'm believing in my heart, every family might be keeping their daughters holy, spotless. But some of the people, they knew the Messiah might be coming in David's family. And so that family particularly, they might be very, very cautious to bringing their children in the fear of God. We read in the book of Luke, chapter 1, starting from verse 26.
And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Now, when you read this scripture, it says 6 months later. We will be learning this, God willing, in Christmas season, but we are studying about the prophecies. So 6 months later means Sister Mary's cousin sister was Elizabeth, a barren. She didn't have children for a long, long time. And they were very, very old. At that particular time, Zechariah was praying. God heard his prayer and promised him to give him a son. And his wife now already 6 months pregnant. That's the time angel came. See, here's the timing. Angel comes 6 months later to prove it to Mary. Don't doubt, your sister Elizabeth is already pregnant for 6 months. So there is nothing impossible with God. That's what he was bringing the message. All of this angel explained to her, this child is not an ordinary child. This child is going to be king. There will be no end of his kingdom. Means his kingdom will be forever. And that's the kind of son you're going to bring into this world. And this son is not ordinary. This son is the called Son of the Highest. That means there is nobody higher than God. So this will be Son of God. Many times when you read in the Word of God, we will be studying as the scripture comes, sounds like Jesus Christ was born by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was not the father of Jesus. The Word of God says God the Father is the one who sent the God the Son into this world. And so Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came through the Mary, and many people do not believe how can somebody comes through the virgin. And their mind is set on the worldly thing. I would tell them, why don't you read our Bible and read in Genesis how God created the first man. There was no woman or man, and he took the dust and formed the man and breathed on his nostril, and the man became a living soul. So if God can take the dust and make a man, is it difficult for God? It is nothing difficult, because angel said, is there anything hard for the Lord? The Word of God says, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were hovering in the Spirit over the Mary. Just like in the time of creation, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth. When you say Spirit of God, at that time, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they were all in the Spirit. When Adam was created, now God is creating a new Adam, new man into this world. That's the time the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, and the Holy Spirit were hovering over Mary. And the same time the angel is bringing the message and telling her how you're going to be pregnant. When the angel gave the story about Elizabeth and how your son will be so great, and then she said, let it be according to your word. When she said, let it be according to your word, that's not the word of angel, it's the word of God. So she said, let it be according to your word. And then what happened? St. John chapter 1, verse 14. We read. It says, the word became flesh. Please read.
And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Who is this? This is the Son of God. The word became flesh. Book of Revelation, it says, his name is Word of God. So the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Word of God. And St. John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. that same word became flesh. Until that, that word was a spirit. The Son was a spirit. Father is a spirit. Holy Spirit is the spirit. St. John chapter 4, verse 24, he says, God is spirit. And whoever worships him, they should worship him with the spirit and truth. When you say God, all of a sudden in your mind you should think. When you say God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God is a spirit. But he took a form of man to just redeem you and me. Okay, so here we see God sent his Son into this world through the Virgin Mary. And the Word of God said this was prophesied almost 700 or 800 years before Jesus Christ came. And it sounded like when you read Isaiah 9:6, it said the child is born. But the point I'm making, Jesus Christ was born into this world as a baby. And if you read in the book of Psalm, chapter 2, verse 7.
I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee.
When somebody reads this, for example, I don't know, Jehovah's Witnesses or some other religion or other religious people, they will say, listen, in your Bible it says that Jesus Christ was born. That means he is not from the beginning. But the Word of God says, I just said a few minutes ago, in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and Word was God. Not only that, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he says, he is Alpha and Omega, beginning and ending. And so he is from everlasting to everlasting. Then why he said, today I have begotten thee? What happened here when Jesus Christ took the form of man? He was born into this world. And then when we read Matthew chapter 3 verse 17, when you took baptism and came out of the water, we heard the voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So what God was declaring to the people, Jesus Christ came into this world, he is my Son, and he is obedient Son. Why obedient? Because God said to John the Baptist, you should baptize people for repentance. And he was doing it, and so many people were rejecting. Lawyers and Pharisees, they didn't take the baptism. But Jesus Christ came and John says, you should be baptizing me. Why are you taking baptism from me? What Jesus says, I have to fulfill the righteousness of God. What does it mean? When God said it, and he set the rule to baptize, I have to obey as a man. And that's why the voice came from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now we learn that the Word of God says the Messiah was going to come into this world through the virgin girl. And it happened. Prophecy was not saying Mary, just say virgin. It's fulfilled. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 2 and read from verse 4 to 7.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
So now we see this is God's doing, because the child supposed to be born in Bethlehem. At that time, Joseph and Mary, they were not in Bethlehem. And so how God is moving this? Because the first time the decree has happened that everybody should go to their hometown to pay their taxes. And this was the first time. If somebody do not believe that Jesus Christ was born, we have a good proof. They were the first taxing was done, and that's the time everybody went to their own town. And Joseph was the lineage from the David, so he went to the David's town, and David was from Bethlehem. And so the child was born in a Bethlehem. Now when the child was born in a Bethlehem, we learned that angel came and gave the announcement, this Jesus Christ or the Son of God or the Messiah or the Savior is born. And the angel went there and worshipped. After a long time, maybe almost 2 years or so, Jesus Christ was growing in that town. And then here comes the wise people. They call Magi. They came and asked the king, where is the king of the Jews is born? And he got scared. King of Jews? I am the king here. And who is the king? So he calls all the wise people and said, tell me if there is a written anywhere in your law that the king should be born. Let's go to the Matthew chapter 2, and start reading from verse 3 to 6.
When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.
When you say governor, actually is a king, ruling my people Israel. When this king heard these things, he was troubled. The word of God said not only he was troubled, the whole land was troubled. But the Jewish people should be happy. All these scribe and the highly learned people in the Bible, they were called and asked them, what you think? So they studied the prophecy. Read the Micah chapter 5 verse 2. That's what they were talking about. This is what our Bible says. This is what we believe, that king is going to be born.
But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
See, from everlasting. That means he is not just coming as a king today, but he is the king or the ruler from everlasting to everlasting. Because Jesus Christ was in heaven, and all the angels and everyone were worshiping him and praising him, he didn't have to come. But the Philippians chapter 2, he says, he gave up all the heavenly kingdom and took the form of man as a servant and died on the cross of Calvary for us. So this is the prophecy, is fulfilled what the Micah prophet said. And these scribes and Pharisees, they knew all along who Jesus Christ is. He is the future king. And so what happened? This king was afraid, asked those people, when did you see the star? And all the timing he calculated, maybe a couple of years now. And so he said, go and see the child, worship the child, and come back to me, and then I'll go and worship the child. But as we know, the word of God says, God spoke to those magi, all those people who came to see the baby Jesus, or the king of Israel. They got a dream, and God said, don't go back to the Herod, go back another way. And they left. The king is waiting and waiting and waiting, and these people didn't come. So he might have got so much angry, and he decided to kill those little babies, 2 years or younger, and we want to kill them. Now, This is all prophesied in the Bible. But God is much wiser than the king. So God said to Joseph, please take this child and go to Egypt and protect this child. And so that also was prophesied. Let's go to the book of Hosea, chapter 11, verse 1.
When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt.
Now he says, the Israel is my child. Now, many people believe that the Israeli people also called the Son of God. But when you read in the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, that fits just the prophecy for Christ. Even the Israeli people went to Egypt, and God called them out of Egypt. And that prophecy fit like God called his son out of Egypt. But book of Matthew, explaining by the Holy Spirit who this child is.
When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son.
See, it's explained that whatever the prophet said is fulfilled. But now when God already sent Joseph, Mary, and baby Jesus to Egypt, can you imagine the king and his army and his soldiers and all the officers and the secret service could not find out Jesus Christ disappeared. And where he went, they didn't know. So they said, let's kill all the babies so Jesus will be killed automatically. See how God protects his children. This is just protecting his son, but now through Jesus, we are the children of God. So any disaster comes, you don't have to worry because he will protect you. That is his promise. God will never allow us to be destroyed with the sinners. Flood can come, the fire can come. There was one story I heard, the real story. The fire started in one end and the house started burning. All the houses came to the middle and then jumped to the other end, and the other end was completely burned. So all these houses were flat on the ground. And one house in the middle was not touched. So people were curious what happened. They went knocking at the door and said, hey lady, what happened? Why your house is not burned? She said, I'm born again child of God, and God promised me to protect me from the disaster. And that's what happened. So you see in the 9/11, people got protected, just like one of the sisters in the middle of us. And she gave the testimony how God told her not to go there, not to take that train. And some people took that train and they were completely destroyed. So God always protects his children. And this is one good example. When the time came to kill the children, before the children were killed, God told Joseph, take the child away. Same thing is going to happen when the Antichrist comes, or the disaster comes to this world, the church will be taken. So we will be not going through the great tribulation. Many people are saying we will, but we will not, because we have an example. Sodom and Gomorrah, where God was going to destroy that with the fire. So he said, take the Lot and his family out. The world was going to be destroyed. God says, okay, I'm going to save Noah and his family. So we have an example. God will not destroy God's people when the disaster comes. The snow and rain and all kinds of flooding and everything happens. Even though some places in California, I have heard some of the houses were burned and one house didn't burn, so some of the people were Christians. And so God protects his people from the dangerous things. Even though we have the example how God protect that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on fiery furnace. So this is the example given to us, so we should be believing if we are the children of God, God will protect us. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, it says, when you are born again, God sends the angels, you don't see them, sends the angel to protect you. So same way I'm telling other people, when your child is born, bring that child for the dedication. Once your child dedicated to God, then your responsibility is over. You said, this is God's problem, it's not my problem. I gave it to the Lord. Okay, so here we see, now Jesus Christ is safe, but all other children are not safe. And somebody will say, why these other children got killed? The word of God says, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So when the disaster comes and some of the people are not godly and their children are not godly and they are not raising them in the fear of God, something disaster would come. But even though this disaster happened, those children will be still protected because they are babies and they don't know right from wrong. Matthew chapter 2. Start reading from verse 16 to 18.
Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not.
Now somebody will say, what has to do with the Rachel crying for her children? Just like a Rachel was weeping for her child, the same way many, many people's children died and they were weeping just like a Rachel. That's what his example is saying. But he says it is fulfilled what the prophet Jeremiah was saying. Go to the Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 15.
Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rahel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not.
See, Rahel or Rachel is the same. So the point here, the word of God is saying, whatever happened in that particular time, it was prophesied. God knew that the devil, the destroyer, will come to destroy my son, and I'm going to protect them. But this was written so the Jewish people should understand how God protected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. But still they didn't understand. And what God is teaching us, they didn't understand. So God sends now a prophet to tell them that I am preparing the way, but I'm not the one. Someone is going to come after me. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 3.
The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Let's read the Luke chapter 3, verse 3 to 6.
And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Esaias the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God.
This was the message. So the John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness, I am the one who sent, that Isaiah said, I am the one preparing the way for God, preaching about salvation, preaching about repentance. And that's what the John was doing. And so the many people did not understand what this prophecy is all about. I'm talking about the Old Testament people. They were just thinking, we don't know who this prophet is. But when the John the Baptist was born and he was 6 months ahead of Jesus, but those people will not go and start working. They will be waiting until they're 30 years old. So when John the Baptist is now 30, might be, and he's preaching, And Jesus Christ is still not 30, so 6 months he has to wait. So the John the Baptist was a 6 months ahead of Jesus Christ, preparing the way for the man to believe Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now there is a prophecy in Malachi, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1.
Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts.
Now here also this prophecy they could not understand. But we think about Jesus Christ, and suddenly he will go to the temple and he will be preaching.
This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee.
See, this is the prophecy that Luke is saying. We talk about John the Baptist. That was the one God was waiting to send before Jesus Christ to preach about the message of salvation. So it is very clear for Jewish people to understand. But blindly, they rejected him. They don't want to hear about anything. And they just rejected Jesus Christ. But here we see another message in the same Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Prophet or Elijah turning their life around, son towards father, and father's heart will be changed, and son's heart will be changed.
Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
Now see, in this prophecy, the prophecy is twofold. This prophecy, half of the prophecy is finished, and half of the prophecy is going to fulfill the tribulation time. He said Elisha will come and change the man's heart. And the John the Baptist came and he preached. Many people repented and turned to God. So that was one of the prophecies fulfilled. But he says the horrible days are coming. That time also the Elijah, real Elijah, will come. Now this Elijah came was not the real Elijah, but in the spirit of Elijah. That means exactly what the Elijah and going to do, the same kind of job John the Baptist was doing. Let's read the Matthew chapter 17 and verses 10 to 13.
And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist.
See, this prophecy was not clear. That's why the disciples also were confused. They start saying, don't you think they said that Elijah should come first? He said, Elijah already came. And he already told them about repentance, told them about you should change your hearts and things like that. But they didn't understand him, and they will not understand the Son of God also. Jesus Christ explained to his disciples, Elijah already came, and then disciple understood what he was talking about. We already read about the John the Baptist. What was his ministry? His ministry was coming and preparing the people to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And he was the first one to introduce Jesus Christ. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 1 and 2.
Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined.
And when you read this, they don't know who this the messenger is, or who this man is, going to Galilee and doing the ministry, and people who are sitting in the shadow of death, dying without God, he is the one going to bring the message of salvation. Who is this man? Go to the Matthew chapter 4, verse 13 to 16.
And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up."
See, the Holy Spirit was guiding the children of God, all these believers, opening their eyes and saying, what the Isaiah was saying is fulfilled in Christ. Isaiah did not name who the person will be. But now, the Matthew says, this was spoken by Isaiah about Jesus Christ. And he went to Galilee and surrounding area and preached the gospel, healed the sick, and did signs and wonders and miracles. That was Jesus Christ. Now, there is another prophecy in Isaiah chapter 61. Let's read verse 1 and 2.
"The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn."
Now see, when Jesus Christ started his ministry, or when he started his ministry, but Luke said that he went directly to the temple. Let's go back to the Luke chapter 4.
"And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written."
He comes to the synagogue, and they gave him the book, and he took the book in his hand. And see what he's reading. Verse 18.
"The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son?"
Okay, Jesus comes to the temple, takes the book, takes the exact word what the Isaiah prophesied, chapter 61. And he's exactly noted the scriptures. And before he closed the book, he said, "This scripture is fulfilled in your own eyes." And then he sat down. And right away, if you read, keep on reading, these people did not like what he said, and they wanted to stone him to death, and not only that, to push him from the cliff and kill him. But the point I'm making here, that prophecy Isaiah said is fulfilled through Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. When the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, when you say Spirit of the Lord, Lord is called Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ didn't take the book and say, "Do you know what the Isaiah is saying? The Spirit of the Lord, I am the Lord, I am the Messiah, and I got the Spirit, Messiah's Spirit, and I am the Messiah." Did not say like that. We read in the Word of God, as soon as he was baptized and came out of the water, the Word of God says he was filled with the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the Lord. Luke even says Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of the Lord is holy. The Spirit of God is holy. It was not the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, God, the third person of Trinity. Why? Because Jesus Christ himself said the Holy Spirit was not yet given. So what Jesus Christ was saying, going to the temple, he's saying you are waiting for the anointed one, the Messiah to come, or the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That is me. That prophecy is fulfilled. So what he was trying to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You saw the Spirit of the Lord coming when I took the baptism. That means I am the one, anointed one. I am the one, your Messiah. But the point I'm making here, Book of Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The same chapter Jesus Christ opens and he reads and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And this prophecy is fulfilled in your eyes today. That means Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him the day he took baptism. So he came to tell the people, the Spirit of God, or Spirit of the Lord, is upon me. Not the third person of Trinity, the people are talking. And so we see in a book of Isaiah, that prophecy fulfilled in book of Luke chapter 4. Now when Jesus Christ came and he was preaching to people, and most of the time he was giving a parables. When he gave the parables, most of the people did not understand what he was trying to say. And somebody will say, why was he doing like this? Because the word of God says some blindness was on their eyes. And God was not going to tell them everything clearly at that particular time. And so there was like a spiritual blindness over their eyes. Let's read the book of Psalm, chapter 78, verse 2.
I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old.
So he said, the prophet, the Messiah, will be talking to these people with the parables. Let's go to the Matthew chapter 13, 34 to 35.
All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world.
See, this thing has to happen. That's why he was talking in the parables. And if you read Matthew chapter 13, there are so many parables in that chapter than any other book. But the disciples were a little bit confused why he's talking the parables. Let's read the verse 10 and 11, same chapter.
And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
See, that time the mystery was not revealed to the children of Israel. But he says, the mystery of the kingdom of God is revealed unto you. Don't you think we are blessed people? So God has revealed his plan to us, and we know all the secrets of mystery in Jesus Christ fulfilling to us. There is nothing secret hidden now, because Jesus Christ is the mystery revealed today for mankind. And so Jesus Christ was going to come as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but today we heard that he came as a baby and he taught to those people in parables. But today, by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit, everything is revealed to us, the kingdom of God and all the prophecies, why Jesus Christ came, what is the meaning of all these scriptures. Jesus Christ said to these disciples, but I'm going to reveal to you. And when the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the children of God, God started revealing so many things which were hidden before the foundation of the world. Shall we rise? Time is running. God willing, we'll continue We are going to finish it within a couple of weeks, all the prophecy about Jesus Christ fulfilled about Messiah in Christ. So we are thankful to God that He has given us the spiritual understanding. Book of Ephesians chapter 1, if you read from verse 17, St. Paul says, I'm just praying that your spiritual understanding will open to you. So we are thankful to God that Bible is not a closed book to us. Bible is open book. And as we read, we understand. And so if you are a born-again child of God and a newly born, and you don't understand anything, call your pastor or call some brothers and sisters who are really in the Lord. They will guide you in all truth. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to understand the prophecies. These all hidden scriptures, the Jewish people didn't understand. And even today, their mind is still closed. Their eyes is still blinded. But it is our duty to explain to them what was happening and what is happening today. Jesus Christ is the only one. He is the Messiah. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He is the one high priest today. That's why all the Jewish synagogue or the temple, there is no sacrifice. The day Jesus died, the curtain was torn from top to bottom, and all the service of sacrifices is stopped. Because Jesus Christ gave the final sacrifice, His own body was sacrificed for mankind. So Lord Jesus, we are so thankful to you, revealing your secrets, revealing the mysteries to us, so we can pass it on to others. Give us grace to learn more, study more, and teach others so they would know it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.